Now stay tuned for the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call on 97.9 The Wren. The Wake Up Call talks with the people in Charlottesville and Albemarle County who are making a difference. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
And happy Sunday, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us on another Sunday here at The Wren. So today, a conversation is with Kristen Swacko and Portia Boggs. They are both with Charlottesville's local food hub. For those of you who don't know, our local food hub has its fingers in many areas, and we're going to share with you everything they do, from food access programs to grower service programs with our farms and so many other places that they are around our city and our area. Ladies, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Well, let's get started doing a little research on the web, which you can go to localfoodhub.org. Food Hub is approaching its 12th birthday, correct?
That is correct.
So let's just dive right in. What is the greatest success after 12 years?
Oh my gosh. I think that the greatest success is the establishment of a true connection between our area's small independent farms and the community that that benefit from the food from those farms, ranging from, you know, consumers at the markets to recipients of the Fresh Pharmacy Program. I think it's just been a network building effort that has really that we just feel really really strongly about.
Is there something in particular? What brought our local food hub into being? What is its origin?
Yeah, I can address that. So Local Food Hub really grew out of a community conversation back in around 2008 about the challenges of our local food system and the challenges facing small independent farms. And that conversation involved lots of different stakeholders, including restaurant and business owners, institutions, farmers themselves, nonprofit organizations. And one of the things that emerged from that was that there were real challenges between the connection. There were real challenges to farmers being able to access the markets that they wanted to access, and challenges to institutions and other parts of the marketplace accessing food from those small independent farms. Those ranged from things like liability insurance to transportation, cold storage, marketing, and the challenges of larger institutions being able to work with lots of small farms. And so at the time, this concept of food hubs was just starting to emerge. Local Food Hub was one of just a handful of such organizations in the country at that time. Now that's expanded to hundreds. But each food hub is unique to the community where it exists. And our local food hub was founded with the idea that it would be this connector piece between our local institutions and marketplaces and our small farms. It started with a donated warehouse, a rented truck, and, 10 or 12 farmers that all signed up, and it just grew from there.
I'm just curious, Kristen or Portia, whoever has the best story behind this, was there a particular incident or tipping point or request that brought this into being? Or did somebody see something in the news or a magazine article and they said, oh, they're doing this over there, we can do this over here?
So I think one of the tipping points came when one of the founders of Local Food Hub, the owner of a well-known business around here, Feast, in the market at West Main, was really experienced it from both sides. So she had farmers coming to, you know, and they're a purveyor of local food, a very strong supporter of local food, had farmers coming with, you know, a box of tomatoes and coming to the store and saying, you know, we really want to sell our tomatoes, but we don't, you know, we don't know how to access all the markets. We know you'll buy some, but, you know, how do we grow this business, you know, bigger? And then also having institutions such as UVA, UVA Dining, UVA Hospital, calling and saying, we would really love to buy local, but we don't know how to go about it, and we need help. And so it was really her vision, largely, along with this, you know, sort of community conversation that was the catalyst, I think, for getting the Food Hub started.
And here we are 12 years later, and Local Food Hub is now doing many more things than it started out doing, or just a deeper version of the same concept that it had originally?
Well, it's definitely evolved. But when the Food Hub started, so it was founded as a nonprofit organization, really because no one knew what, you know, where this concept was going to go, knew that it was going to require community support, and knew that there was going to have to be scaffolding, if you will, that would have to be built around the food system to really, you know, kind of get it to the next level. And so in the beginning, as I described, there were, you know, there was the warehouse and the trucks and the actual distribution of local food. So the buying and the aggregation and the selling of local food. But there was also a recognition that farmers were going to need support. They were going to need technical assistance and training to be able to navigate this whole new marketplace. And there was also a recognition that a food system is only as good as it is equitable. So it's great if, you know, you can buy local food at a, you know, high price market or access it, you know, through a farmer's market. But the recognition that there were large parts of the community that had no access to fresh food at all, never mind fresh local food. And so out of that grew, I guess, what you might call sort of a three-legged stool, which was the distribution operation, our grower services program, which provides support to farmers, and our food access programming, which, you know, continues to be the core of what we do.
And we'll be talking about all of those today during the hour with our guests again, Portia Boggs and Kristen Suoco, as we talk about the Local Food Hub, who I'm guessing many people have stumbled across in some way. Others may know about directly. Portia, can you tell me, is there a way, as Director of Advancement and Communications, is there one specific way that the community is most likely to have noticed Local Food Hub?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say the biggest way that the community might have noticed us recently is the drive-through farmers markets that we started in response to COVID. We started a set of twice weekly pre-order drive-through farmers markets once the pandemic hit, and other farmers markets and other outlets for small farms started closing down. Those have stayed constant over the past year. And so I would say that is the biggest way that people might come into contact with us. We also operate our fresh pharmacy program in a number of communities. People may be familiar with us through that. And finally, you know, it could be as simple as seeing our sticker on the window of a business. Many of the people that we used to sell wholesale to, you know, they're really proud of the fact that they buy from local businesses. They want to promote it. And so I would say our logo is in a lot of wonderful stores, you know, like Feast or like the Pie Chest, who really want to promote that they work with local food sources.
Let's talk about the Fresh Pharmacy program for a moment, because that's now been mentioned at least twice just in our first 10 minutes of the hour. So tell us what it's all about and why it's out there for us to understand its name and what's going on.
Sure. So the full name of the Fresh Pharmacy program is the Fresh Pharmacy Fruit and Veggie Prescription Program. It was started back in 2015, really when, you know, the health district and local food hub and other community members started to grapple with the fact that even though we live in such a wonderful agriculturally diverse region, there are huge segments of the population who don't have access to that food. And while our distribution program was getting food into stores and into cafeterias, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that it was creating equitable access to that food. So we really wanted to specifically focus on the communities who would have the hardest time getting that fresh food. So the basis of the program is that we partner with health clinics in high-need areas. Those health clinics will identify participants who are either diagnosed as having or being at risk of some kind of diet-related disease, who their health practitioner feels would benefit from more fresh fruits and vegetables in their diet. So the health clinic will identify the participants. And then we work with the health clinics to either every week or every other week provide a bag of about 6 to 8 different locally sourced fresh items. We typically try to prioritize items that are low prep, you know, easy to prepare and easy to prepare deliciously. All of the bags will come with a bag insert. We really want the program to breed familiarity with produce and confidence in cooking in the kitchen. So each bag will come with an insert that goes over each of the different foods in the bag, where it came from, different ways that you can prepare it. It'll have some easy-to-follow recipes. Prior to the pandemic, the program operated for about 28 weeks. From mid-spring to mid-fall, and participants got shares every other week. Since the pandemic started and health disparities and food access inequities grew so much so quickly, we have expanded the program pretty significantly. So we now serve around 500 people a week. Participants get shares every other week. We have incorporated home delivery so that people don't even have to leave their houses to get the food. And we have run the program consistently since early April of 2020, as opposed to just sort of the spring to fall program season. Kristen, do you want to add anything?
No, I think you covered it. I guess I would just add that, In addition to this being a source of food, I think it really connects people to where the food comes from. And there is a tremendous value in having food that is grown locally, that you might recognize from your childhood, that is fresher than what you might get at the corner store, that is more nutritionally beneficial because it's fresher and because it's locally grown. In addition to that, it's really helpful for the farms that we work with. So this is sort of a steady market for for the small independent farms that we work with, and has certainly proven to be that during the course of the pandemic, in addition to before.
I'm curious, how does a new individual who hears about this today say, oh my gosh, that's what I need? Or someone in the medical field who's listening and is thinking, I could do that for some of my patients. How do you get started? Because it sounds fascinating.
Yeah, so certainly the medical professionals are really kind of the first line of defense, right? So much of this works through local health clinics and local health practitioners. So a local health practitioner who is interested in participating certainly should just reach out. In fact, during the course of the pandemic, we've established several new relationships with clinics and health practitioners. And, you know, of course, funding is the issue, right? So, you know, in some cases, clinics bring funding with them. In some cases, we are out there doing the fundraising for the program. We should add that this is of no cost to the participant. So this is all supported by philanthropic and grant dollars. So health practitioners, we're open to talking to any practitioner who's interested in partnering. If you are a citizen who is interested in partaking of the program, the best way is to go through your health practitioner or through the health system, through the Blue Ridge Health District. We do have a great partnership with them, and they refer quite a few folks to the program. So there are a variety of ways to get involved.
Portia, let me end this by asking the Fresh Pharmacy program by asking, do you expect things to change as people are getting their vaccinations, or is this just beginning because it's going to ripple outward and more, and people will always need these fruits and vegetables?
Well, I think what the pandemic revealed was the weaknesses in the food system and the weaknesses in how we feed ourselves and how inequitable the food system is. And that is not going to change. And it has been exacerbated by the pandemic.
Okay. We're talking with Portia Boggs and Kristen Suoco. Portia is the Director of Advancement and Communications. Kristen is the Executive Director of Local Food Hub here in the Charlottesville area. You can find them at localfoodhub.org. Let's take our first break, and we'll be right back. All right. Thank you so much for being here, Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, as we talk about Local Food Hub here in the Charlottesville area. Kristen Suoco, Portia Boggs with us today. Local Food Hub also works on grower service programs. Portia, first of all, let's just define that term, grower service programs. That sounds a lot like farm aid, although I realize that's already been taken by a music concert a long time ago.
Yeah, I think they got dibs on that one. Grower services, it really is what it sounds like. Kristen referenced this at the beginning of the hour. Essentially, once we were founded, we very quickly realized that there was a whole suite of support services that farmers would benefit from. I like to say, you know, if you think about it, running a farm really is like running a small business, but it is like running a small business that is really, really strictly regulated by several different groups. And it is like running a small business where you know, the act of farming is essentially a full-time job, and then the business side of farming is essentially a full-time job, and often there are not enough people, so it's multiple people or very few people doing the work of multiple people. And I will say, in my experience, farmers don't go into farming because they have a love of business. They go into farming because they have a love of farming. And so the role of our grower services program is to really make all the rest of the components of farming as easy as possible so that farmers can focus on growing. So it really runs the gamut. We do everything from providing sort of cost share for food safety certifications. Many people don't know this. But there are required food safety certifications to sell into larger markets like university systems. Those certifications can cost over $1,000, which is really significant for any small farm. So helping farms pay for that, helping them understand what food safety regulations are and what they need to do to be legally compliant, helping them understand, you know, the best way to navigate the market, how to best grow and package their produce so that they'll be as appealing as possible to both wholesale buyers and individual customers. Basically everything that goes into farming that is not the growing of product.
Kristen, there are several programs that are specifically mentioned, such as you help farmers achieve food safety certifications. There's a record keeping app where you have taken templates from the federal and state agency and customized it for individual farms so that it eliminates unnecessary and confusing records that don't apply to every farm. You assist farms with the costs for receiving the food safety certification. There's collective purchasing, which I found very interesting because these things, it isn't, I think almost everyone knows, all you have to do is go to Costco. It's less expensive to buy in bulk.
Exactly. Yeah, the collective purchasing program is one of the things we're most excited about. We've had a program since Local Food Hub was founded, which dealt with boxes. So the boxes that you have to put your produce in order to deliver it to a wholesale customer. So we have provided the service since the very beginning of purchasing those boxes in quantity at lower cost and then being able to sell those to our partner farms at cost, which was much lower. And so we are really excited about expanding that to include other sorts of farm inputs, ranging from soil amendments to seeds to other sorts of packaging, bags, plastic bags, compostable bags. Really the opportunities are endless. We're working hard to really try and expand that, and our farmers are really excited about the possibilities.
What sort of feedback do you get from the farmers in terms of requests for aid?
So we do a grower survey every year where we essentially at the end of the year we'll send out something that's meant to assess what the farm's top priorities are for the upcoming year and how we can best support them. I would say that pretty much across the board, farms are most interested in making sure that they are legally compliant with food safety regulations, which can be very confusing and difficult to understand. So just navigating the food safety landscape, and then navigating the wholesale marketplace, which can be very different than, say, selling into a farmer's market.
You've also helped with water quality and testing. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a pretty baseline sort of test and food safety requirement that that we have always required and that most purchasers require. But again, it comes with a cost. In some cases, you know, you're required to test multiple times a year, and you know, you have to send it off to a lab, and all of that costs. Cost money. And so we've always, again, since the beginning, not only required the water test so that we can vouch for the farm safety, but also helped with the cost of that so that we can offset that a little bit for the farmer.
Again, we are talking about Local Food Hub here in the Charlottesville area with Executive Director Kristen Swacko and Director of Communication and Advancement, Portia Boggs. I was fascinated to read about some of the other work that you do in the community with other organizations, working with other groups, University of Virginia among them, for something called Food Justice Network, Sustainable Food Collaborative, another organization, Move to Health. Can you talk about your part in these setups?
Yeah, I would say that Charlottesville is, despite all of its challenges that we, you know, we all recognize, has an incredible community of people working towards not just equity and justice as a concept, but food justice and food equity, and really, you know, leveling the playing field when it comes to what we're able to access and what we're able to eat, and you know, people having real ownership in what that means. And so all of these organizations that you've referenced are working towards that goal. Local Food Hub's unique perspective and unique asset, if you will, is that we work with farms and we work on the ground, sort of quite literally, in understanding what that, you know, what that connection with the local agricultural community looks like. And so we bring that perspective. We also bring the perspective of our food access work, our Fresh Pharmacy program, and what it means to really improve the determinants of health by bringing fresh food to people who really need it, and helping incorporate that into any thinking, any talking about food access and hunger issues in the community. So that's sort of the unique perspective that we bring, but these networks are just tremendous in what they are seeking to achieve and how they've brought the community together. Cultivate Charlottesville in particular, and the Charlottesville Food Justice Network, but UVA also has a amazing commitment to this through that sustainability network. And so we're a really lucky community in that we have many organizations all working together toward the same goal.
Portia, help me understand. I didn't want to go looking up the definition because I've got two people coming onto the show who could explain it to me. You know, reading about these organizations that Kristen was just referring to, that Local Food Hub is part of and working with, I ran across the phrase food sovereignty. Please explain that to me in the concept of Local Food Hub and these other organizations.
Yeah, I actually, I think that Kristen could probably, should probably take that one.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to. So food sovereignty really means having the for every citizen to have the ability and the control over what they are able to eat, how they access that food, having that stake in how it's grown, where it's grown, where it's purchased. And frankly, a good part of our citizenry does not have the those benefits. Does not have a stake in how food is grown, where they access it, what type of food they're able to access. And so it's really all about having exactly what it says, sovereignty over what you're putting into your body.
So when you say that not everyone in the community has a stake in how it's grown or how to access it, are we talking a little bit about poverty, a little bit about urban issues where there aren't enough grocery stores or affordable food, affordable natural foods? Are we also talking about big farms overtaking a lot of the grocery stores that many people do service? Is it all of that? Am I over? Am I missing something?
No, it's absolutely all of the above. Yeah. Go ahead, Portia.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think it is all of that. I think another thing that people often overlook with food sovereignty and food access is transportation. You can live relatively near a grocery store, like, say, half a mile from a grocery store. But if you don't have a car, that still really limits what you can get. You know, a gallon of milk feels much heavier walking half a mile along a busy road than it does carrying it, you know, from the store to your car and then from your car to your front door.
Yeah, I would think that many folks listening today have probably seen someone carrying a couple plastic bags of groceries down Route 29 or in the median at Route 29. And we're going, what in the world are they doing? And yeah. I guess what you're saying is the lack of transportation has put them in that spot.
It might take me 5 minutes to get to the store in my car. Even somebody who lives next to a bus stop, it might take them 45 minutes based on the bus route. And then again, it's much more difficult to carry everything back. And I think, you know, Kristen was talking earlier about how COVID has really shown many of the inequities and holes that were already inherent in our system. Taking the bus did not feel safe for a lot of people this past year. Just barriers become so much bigger than I think a lot of people realize when you don't have to think about how you're accessing your food.
And then it goes a little bit even deeper when it comes to things like, so there's access to, you know, at a large level, access to grocery stores, access to healthful food, through markets and that kind of thing. But then when you think about land access and access to the ability to grow your own food in, you know, say an urban environment, or access to land, even if you want a farm, I mean, that has become an incredibly huge issue. So even for the small independent farms that we work with, land access is not a given. It's It's just not. And that has become clear. I mean, it's been clear for a long time, but has really been revealed in the last year, the challenges that especially minority farmers have to accessing land and being able to farm on their own land. And a lot of that does have to do with the industrial food system and the, you know, taking over of farmland by large corporations and international corporations. And that's, you know, really, really been a hindrance to this whole concept of food sovereignty.
Our guest today, Portia Boggs, Kristen Suaco from Local Food Hub here in Charlottesville. Let's take our next break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about some of the food access programs that are going on. And then I want to get back and talk about the drive-through markets. People who don't participate need to know where you can find it, how they work. And let's talk about some of the vendors that are there and some of those tasty foods. Be right back. And thank you for being with us today. Hopefully you stuck around for the tastiest part of the hour as we talk about the Local Food Hub. Because the drive-through market is coming up. And you need to know how that works and what some of your options are. Because let's see. One day last week, I had some local market food hub for my lunch and for my dinner and for my dessert, and I'm proud of it. But let's start with the food access programs that the Local Food Hub participates with. So nutrition education is something that you do. Are we doing this for school kids? Is somebody walking into the schools and giving the teacher an hour off? Or are you handing out flyers in the mailbox? What's going on?
Well, so nutrition education is a pretty broad concept. We definitely do it through our Fresh Pharmacy fruit and vegetable prescription program, where all of the participants are receiving, as Portia mentioned earlier, bag inserts, where they're learning about the products and the nutritional benefits and farm information and so forth. We've also been very involved over the years in farm-to-school efforts, which is what it sounds like, essentially trying to get more local food incorporated into school meals. Cultivate Charlottesville, who we've also talked about, is really a leader in this effort. We provide access to farm-sourced food to get into school meals. And, of course, associated with that is education around, why sourcing your food locally is better for the environment and the local economy and climate change and, you know, you name it. So we try to incorporate nutrition education into really everything that we do. But those are a couple of examples of how that happens.
Does the Local Food Hub do anything through the legislature or the city council?
That is a great question. So through our work with Cultivate Charlottesville and the Charlottesville Food Justice Network, we are involved with something called the Food Equity Initiative, which is an effort on the part of Charlottesville city government to try and incorporate this concept of food equity and food sovereignty into the strategic plans of all the departments, all the city departments. So whether it's housing or parks and recreation, you name it, they're trying to incorporate this concept of food equity in those. We have also been involved in state level efforts, including an effort to look at racial equity in Virginia law and how that impacts Black farmers. We've been involved with the Virginia Food System Council, which helps advocate for legislation related to food and food equity. So the answer, the short answer is yes, we do get involved, although that is not our sort of primary primary mission.
So I want to make sure that we talk a little bit more about the drive-through market. We're down to our last 15 minutes of the hour, and I could probably talk for 15 minutes about all the things I've purchased. Obviously, let me tell the listeners, I'm not on the board of the local food hub. I never met Kristen or Portia before we started, but I've been a member of the local food hub drive-through market for a year, so I do have a vested interest in the success of the local food hub in that manner. But I don't know the answers to some of these questions. We talked about it came to be because of the virus and the need to help some of the farms. But it's not just a place to go get your vegetables.
Right. So when we started the market, like you said, they started when COVID hit. We have enjoyed close relationships with dozens of small farms and small vendors. And so many of them, both farms who pretty much exclusively sell through farmers markets and farms who have a more diversified sales outlet of selling into restaurants and farmers markets or small food businesses, were coming to us saying, we don't know what we're going to do anymore. All the farmers markets in Charlottesville have closed down. Restaurants are closing down. The University of Virginia just closed down. All of our sales are disappearing before our eyes. And so we knew from really early on in the pandemic, I think everything really started to feel very serious in mid-March. And our first market was the week of March 20th. So we created the market with the goal of supporting all of our partner farms and supporting partner vendors. And we knew that a really important way of doing that was creating a market that was sort of as comprehensive as possible. Because at the same time that farmers and small food businesses are worried about selling their products, so many customers were not feeling safe going to the store and being in contact with other people. And so we really wanted to create a market that somebody could use if they needed to or wanted to as an alternative to the grocery store. So we tried to get a really nice, well-rounded supply of produce and bread and cheese and meat, and then flesh it out with things like baked goods and prepared meals. And then it's really just grown from there to incorporate a really wide variety of vendors. But we do really keep in mind the core idea of having a market that is as dynamic and interesting for the customer as possible, because that obviously helps the customer, and the better the market does, the better all of our individual vendors do.
So, Portia, to follow up on that with you, can you tell somebody who hasn't participated before, but who's heard about it, or somebody who is just now hearing about this, how do you participate if you're trying to make it helpful to both sides, vendor and customer, and it originated with the idea under the COVID-19 virus? How do you participate in it as a customer?
Absolutely. So our market is pretty unique in that it was created as an entirely drive-through pre-order-only website. So we partner with a platform called Lulu's Local Food to run the ordering system. Vendors will go in, update their inventory, And then customers can come in, and it's really like any other online shopping experience that you've had. You can just scroll through all of the vendors. You can filter by either specific vendor or by product type. You place your order. We run two markets a week. We run a market on Wednesdays and a market on Fridays. If you eat each order, each market has a particular ordering window. So you cannot Friday morning say, oh, man, I want something from the Food Hub market tonight. I'm going to place an order now. The order has to be done 24 hours in advance of the market by noon on Thursday, just so that our vendors have time to get their orders together. But basically, you go online. You go to localfoodhub.org/market. You create an account with Lulu's, which is really simple. Place your order, and then just show up to Seminole Square Shopping Center. The markets both days run 4 to 5:30. You just show up in your car. There will be staff to direct you. A staff member from Local Food Hub will be at the beginning to open your trunk and to put your name on your car. And then you just drive slowly through the line of vendors. Vendors have their order lists in front of them, so they see your name, they know your order, they put it in your trunk, and then at the end of the line, another Local Food Hub staff member will take your name off of your car and close your trunk for you.
It really is just about that simple.
I think that one of the huge benefits of this market during the whole pandemic and continuing now is that people do actually get interaction with their favorite vendors and their favorite farmers. So even though you might be driving through and getting your product put in your trunk, you can roll down your window and say hi to your farmer that you've seen at the farmer's market for years, and you can have a small interaction, and you can, it's a beautiful kind of mix of COVID safe and still being able to get a little bit of that farmer's market experience.
And again, I feel like I'm sort of advertising for Local Food Hub, which isn't necessarily the point of the hour, but that's all true in that when there are some foods that my household orders regularly, for my fresh vegetables and fruits, I eat berries as regularly as possible. And the staff from Agriberry sees our last name and knows that it's for me. And so they always make a comment about, oh, you're here for your berries. So nice. Enjoy, please. We'll have more berries next week. We're switching to these berries later in the season. So it's very nice. I realize that you cannot, the two of you, I'm assuming, cannot say, these are some of my favorites, because you're not allowed to play favorites with your vendors. Have you had requests to bring in, because you also have had food trucks in the last 4 or 5 months or so, I'd say food trucks were added once a week or once per date. Each Wednesday or Friday, there's often a food truck. Have you had requests from customers to bring in the food trucks or to bring in new food trucks or to make vendors more regular?
Yeah, so we started the food trucks over the winter when, there is produce in Virginia in the winter, but it's not necessarily as robust as in the spring and summer. So we started the food trucks to, sort of round out the market and then really quickly realized that customers love it, which is not surprising. Any Wednesday or Friday that I don't have to think about what I'm going to cook for dinner is a great Wednesday or Friday. And we do hear from customers suggesting food trucks or suggesting vendors. We also hear a lot from other vendors. We live in a community where businesses are really supportive of each other, not necessarily competitive with each other. And so a lot of our recommendations have come from our vendors coming to us and saying, hey, we've got this, you know, this small food truck that we work with, or this other farm that we're friends with, and they sell some really great produce, and I think that they would be a great match for the market. So we have gotten a lot of our vendors word of mouth through other vendors as well.
Well, I will say that there was one day during the week, this past week, when I had something from the local food hub for every meal or included. So I was looking back on this, that for breakfast, I had some strawberries from Agriberry, and my lunch for work was a Sussex Farm Korean bulgogi bowl. And for dinner, we had a little cornbread from, I guess, the Pie Chest.
Mm-hmm. And then Pie Chest.
For dessert, I had a slice of peanut butter cup chocolate pie from Pie Chest too. So now I didn't hear very many vegetables in that mix, but it was still a thrilling day to help the local food hub and the vendors with their efforts.
Well, produce is coming. Produce is on its way. It's already starting. So,
well, we have produce in the drawer. There was produce with dinner. It just didn't happen to come from a local food hub vendor. Again, we are down to our last few minutes with Kristen Swacko and Portia Boggs from the local food hub. I do want to finish up by asking you about the let me see here where my note went that I took earlier. We were talking about long-term access, and we were talking about the drive-through market. One of the things that you're trying to do is to work on the potential of expanded SNAP benefits.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know how much background to go into, but basically SNAP benefits, which is the supplemental nutrition program that the federal government provides through USDA for low access individuals and families, those benefits can be used to purchase fresh fruits and vegetables. And normally that happens, of course, in a retail setting, in a corner market or whatever, but they can also be used at farmers markets. And there's currently one market in Charlottesville, which is run by Market Central, which accepts those benefits. We are looking to expand our offerings to also be a SNAP vendor and provide that access to SNAP recipients. We don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but we are very actively working on making that happen and making our markets more accessible, both to more consumers, including SNAP recipients, but also to more vendors and a more diverse group of vendors. We have a great group now, but we're really looking to the future to, you know, really try and reflect what we've learned through the pandemic and what society's dealing with right now, and just, you know, make it all more equitable and more accessible.
All right, Portia, a little less than a minute. You got about 45 seconds. You are growing, correct?
Yes, we just added a new staff member.
So does that allow you to go up to Petersburg and Fauquier County?
Yeah, so she will be working with our grower services team, and it will allow us to expand the network of growers that we work with.
And what's your time frame to be up there?
Oh, gosh.
Are you hoping for 3 months, 6 months, 12 months?
I mean, yeah, pretty much immediately. I mean, we're looking to add more growers to our network, and particularly, BIPOC growers and, those who really can benefit from our services. So,
all right,
we're moving.
All right. So Local Food Hub, you've heard all about it. You can find them at localfoodhub.org and check out the drive-through market. Just wait until after I go, because sometimes I drive slowly. Kristen Swacko and Portia Boggs here today. Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call on Real Oldies 97.9 The Wren. The Wake Up Call is produced by Dan Gould. Show archives can be found at SeavillePodcast.com. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for The Wake Up Call, only on 97.9 The Wren.